Round two, take two.
He doesn't do anything?
No, it's a, sorry, Cap.
Any thug can kill. I want you to take your ego out of the equation.
And I don't want any third-rate rent-a-thug who couldn't cut it as a cop in Chicago bringing him to L.A. on some bullshit local charge.
Hippies and yuppies alike fill the streets, waging a war of peace against Mayor Daley's thugs.
Mugs, pugs, thugs, nitwits, halfwits, dimwits.
But Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Oh, hell yeah, they got robbers, thugs, drug dealers, right, you name it.
Thug life.
Did you fucking apologize? What's the matter with you?
Listen, thug means never having to say you're sorry.
Open up the door, it's Dave!
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E, will you open up the goddamn
Dave?
Door? Yeah, Dave!
Dave?
Right, man, Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here!
I'll show you with the box. What was in the box?
It's a game.
A game.
Specifically tailored for each participant.
Get out of my house!
Say fuck.
Fuck!
Mom, get the fuck out of my house.
Fuck. Get the fuck out of my house!
What's in the fucking box?
Let me violate you.
I like killing people because man is the most dangerous animal of all.
What's in the box?
You let me penetrate you.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
No.
Help me, I broke apart.
You think I deserve it?
What?
Do you think I deserve your full attention?
Help me. I had to swear an oath before we began this deposition, and I don't want to perjure myself, so I have a legal obligation to say no.
Get away from myself.
Okay, no. You don't think I deserve your attention?
I think if your clients want to sit on my shoulders and call themselves tall, they have a right to give it a try, but there's no requirement that I enjoy sitting here listening to people lie. You have part of my attention, you have the minimum amount. The rest of my attention is back at the offices of Facebook, where my colleagues and I are doing things that no one in this room, including and especially your clients, are intellectually or creatively capable of doing. Did I adequately answer your condescending question?
Yes, legends. Clint, how many times is it in the history of the world, how many times have people said, let's cleanse our minds of that unpleasantness by talking about David Fincher movies?
Let's do it!
Although, even though people have probably just heard it, you know what audio clip I'm going to use to start this? Probably Dave's not here, man.
What's in the box?
Oh, that'll pop up, definitely.
Is it my haircut?
Well, not mine. Your? No, I'm sorry, your hair. Well, your haircut could be in a box. Right?
What's in the box?
I have more hair on my chest than you do on my head. See?
And then I do on your head?
Yes. See, there's that one right there.
There's one.
I am a hairless fucking guy. Oh, man. In case you can't tell, we're going to talk about David Fincher.
Well, I didn't know.
What's in the box?
Is it
Friday.
What I love is people who've listened to the show for a while are already saying, hey guys, I think Jim's drinking again.
Yeah, yeah. It may be.
It's not that I'm totally off the wagon. It's just that I'm enjoying a few German beers. That meal this evening was goddamn amazing.
Pork schnitzel is delicious.
Yeah, pork Jaeger schnitzel with that mushroom sauce and the red cabbage and the hefeweizen.
Fantastic.
And just everything just...
Yeah.
So, whenever I think of schnitzel. Food like schnitzel, I think David of Fincher. David Fincher.
Profile and Fincher.
Profile Fincher.
Color me Fincher.
You know, he started directing videos for Madonna.
Sure did.
Yeah. Express Yourself in Vogue. Which.
Thanks, Dave.
Cool visuals.
Sure.
Interesting style. But I don't care for Madonna much. I'm making another groundbreaking film thug statement.
We here at the Film Thugs don't care much for Madonna.
Yeah. We're not big Madonna fans.
No.
No offense to anyone who is.
No. Knock yourselves out.
It's just not my cup of creepy lady tea. She has arms like a fucking golem now, dude.
Yeah, she really does.
And I know that I'm not the first person to say this, so I'm not breaking any ground here, but they're fucking gross. They're disgusting.
As she dresses up as Esther for her Purim party. Or as Howard puts it, all these goyim that don't understand it celebrate Purim.
Yeah. My friend Matt is like, do you know why Purim is... My Jewish friend Matt, yes, said, you know why Purim is great? Because the idea of it is you are supposed to get blind fucking drunk. That's the whole purpose of it. That is literally, you go to any, like, seriously, Hillel houses on those nights, you pay to get in and it's open bar. You drink as much as you can.
Awesome.
And he said the greatest night ever was the night that Purim and St. Paddy's lined up on the same
shit.
Night.
Oh! Yeah.
Because no matter what we Irish are like, if you're drinking, we don't give a fuck who you are. Yeah. If we're drunk together, we don't give a shit.
A night to get rockin' drunk. Being an Irish Catholic,
yeah.
That's what we like to call the weekends.
Yes, yes. But during
and every high holiday.
Yes, today we were talking about getting ready for, you know, like what Brian jokingly, I'm going to work on that over the weekend. And I'm thinking, one thing I'm going to be working on this weekend is a hangover.
It's true.
I want some more goddamn pork schnitzel, man.
Yeah, me too.
Really good, dude. So, pork schnitzel leads me to Alien 3. Well, what's weird is Fincher is one of those cats that kind of sort of popped up, you know, kind of just like there he was. He'd done some videos and shit, but then it's like, boom, here. Now you deal with him. When I say Fincher, what does that mean to you? What does a David Fincher movie mean to you? Go.
I'd say the... The first thing that you can tell the signature of someone, someone's films is obviously the lighting.
Yeah. Dark.
Yeah. I love
mm-hmm.
his use of lighting.
Oh, yeah.
Or lack thereof.
Yes.
It's fantastic. I love the way it colors everything. Uh-huh. You can make something not very interesting, much more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, Seven, which put him on the map, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
If in another person's hands, that's some pretty broad, goofy shit.
Yeah.
Well, very broad, very goofy
very,
shit.
Very, very
but
much
the
so.
Way he uses everything, all the elements, the colors, the rain. He can make even that kind of... That movie spawned Millennium.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, hell
Chris
yes.
Carter said it. I want to show like Seven.
Because
he liked the movie so fucking much. And he was able to expand on that, obviously. Right. But... That's what I think of. I see a Fincher flick, and I go, ah, that lighting's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Even in Panic Room, which I wasn't a big fan of.
Right.
It's okay, but that lighting was amazing.
Yeah. See, to me, Fincher, not lighting and that camera is not moving a fucking fraction of a centimeter. Those are rock-solid frame edges. No shaky cam, no handheld, no running around. No. We are framing the story you're going to see solidly. I love that.
It makes me think that when he was in school, he really, 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 really got off on production design.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I love the way this stage looks right now.
Mm-hmm.
What would this look like in a film?
Yeah, he's got that painter's touch to some degree, but I think...
Without being an asshole about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because there are some folks that'll be real kind of...
Gilliam!
I said it. Oh, shit. You did. He is an asshole about it.
He is. He's going to hit you over the head with it.
Asshole. Such an asshole. But I see what you're saying. There's... I think that it's something that you and I notice with our background in theater, is that there's a lot of parts of what he does where it feels like... You're watching a stage play. We're going to lock you in, and you're and that. I mean, I know that the shaky cam is supposed to make you feel like, oh, you're part of the action, and you're there, and you're real. But you know what I say?
Yeah,
I say, lock the fucking camera down and let me feel like I'm sitting at a bar. I'm sitting two tables away watching this happen.
Yeah.
And Fincher masters that fucking. Social Network, that camera does not move at all. Yeah. Imagine that opening scene if they'd been pushing in and pulling out and shaking around.
Need that to sit there and bleed out.
Yeah, exactly. And it works so well. And then like the way that the cutting... And he will let the editing do what editing's supposed to do.
Right.
You know? And especially in the openings of Social Network. Mm-hmm. Then when it goes to the, you know, the trial scenes and all that stuff, just amazing. It's the darkness and the solidity of it.
Yeah.
Now, then we have, when he started making film after doing all the, you know, Madonna shit, and he actually directed the video that we don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time. Oh, no. I think that might be the opening song.
There you go.
And people will be like,
why?
That's playing in the background right now. And people are going, what? This is very bizarre. Yeah. What's your problem? Alien 3, I saw once when it was new in the theater.
I saw it in the theater, and I remember thinking, this looks really good.
Oh my God, this is some strikingly visual shit.
Yeah.
Too bad the story sucks. On the shit. Here's the thing with me and the Alien films. I saw Alien, like, 5 years ago, 6 years ago for the first time.
Wow.
I've seen it once since then.
Okay.
And I like it. The problem is I have issues with the stuff near the ending, and I would have shot a lot of it differently. Mm. Because I come from the Hitchcock School of Suspense, and I would have shown more of what the people didn't see to scare. I would have shown the alien moving in the background behind them, closing in on them.
Yeah, it seems
totally
kind of
oblivious.
Seems pretty obvious now.
Mm-hmm. I saw Aliens in the in a movie theater on Howard Air Force Base in Panama, and I have not seen it since.
Huh.
I saw it in probably like less than a year after it came out, and I have not seen it since.
Hey, you say that, and I don't think I've seen it in... Shit, easily 10 years.
I haven't... 25 here, man.
Yeah.
After Alien 3, I haven't seen any of the Alien movies because this one I was just like, there's a lot of dead Sigourney Weaver fetuses.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah. I kind of like their haircuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously.
I enjoy Sigourney Weaver.
Sure.
I like her, and I don't want to see her dead in a jar in various stages of development.
Not usually.
As an adult, I'm fine with it, oddly. Yeah. But in various stages of weird development, I'm not cool with it. But yeah, that was one that I remember feeling that exact same way. Ron Perlman was cool in it.
Sure.
But that's kind of a non-statement. Ron Perlman's cool in everything.
Yes.
Like, that was the movie Ben Kingsley was good in. Oh, that one.
That one. That wasn't Blood Rain.
Yeah. but then, that came out in 92, and it wasn't for another 3 years. I mean, he did an Aerosmith not a documentary. I don't know what video for Aerosmith he directed, but it shows
it wasn't a compilation?
Actually, yeah, it was big ones that you can look at because they're so clever, aren't they?
Oh.
Has Steven Tyler been arrested yet?
No.
I want to, because I've only seen American Idol on The Soup, And essentially all Steven Tyler saying is, ooh, you a young lady. I would like to have sexual intercourse with you. That's all that I pick up. It's like, here's a really stupid, slapjacky way to say I'm a pervy old man. Ow!
Yep. Kiss my sass a phrase.
Yes. Kiss my sass.
Yo. That's phrase.
Yo, yo, yo. Then he did a Sting video. Englishman in New York.
No idea.
You're not much of a Sting fan, though, if we're being honest.
No, it's true.
Yes.
I like one song.
But I do like that it's from the best of Sting, Fields of Gold.
Not that one.
No. Which one?
Mad About You.
Paul Reiser?
Yes.
He did the music for that show?
Yes.
I did not know that. I have learned something today.
This is not my locker.
Did you see that there's an NBC is going to be doing the Paul Reiser show? He's got a new sitcom coming out.
Really?
Yeah. Because America, you cannot tell me America doesn't love two things. Paul Reiser and Tony Danza.
I know they do. They really do.
Dude, you need to watch
and
the show.
Fried chicken.
You need to watch the show Teach Tony Danza. Have you heard about this? Have you heard about this?
Heard about this? Heard about this?
Have you heard about this? It's not bad.
No, you should just stop right there. It's not bad.
It's not bad. That's going to be on the DVD.
Yeah.
Teach Tony Danza. It's not bad. Jim.
Film Doug's
movie. Yeah. no, it's catches. I don't think there's ever been a more realistic image of the difficulties of a first-year teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I've never seen somebody who's fucked up quite as badly as he did as a first-year teacher.
Not and again, a film.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you don't cry in front of your class.
Yeah.
You don't. And also, I again, because I'm doing my new grading shit, when he's like, they failed the test. Like, you give a multiple choice test, they failed it. You know what that proves? Nothing. If they'd all passed it, you know what that proves? Nothing. I have not given a multiple choice test in 2 years.
Right.
And I'm never, ever, ever going to give another one. Ever. Multiple choice tests are stupid.
So there.
A woman that I know was given a test overnight when she was in high school. One of the questions was, what was the number tattooed on his arm? Because that's important.
Sure.
Yeah, but never mind. I'm not going to go off on that. Alien 3 was not very good, but it looked great.
It looked great.
I don't know how we
it
got there.
It looked great.
Yeah, we went from that to Aerosmith to Sting to somehow Tony Danza.
Right.
Oh, Paul Reiser to Tony Danza. It's best not to think about these things too hard. We ended up talking about Tony Danza.
Yeah.
So there. Then he makes 7, which was part of the most depressing double feature I've ever attended. You remember this, right?
No,
we saw Clockers.
Oh, yeah.
7, a dead body, and then tried to get a Grand Slam itch. And a Corn Julius.
Yeah.
And yet the idea of eating off a dead body was preferable to eating at a Denny's.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Some people might remember this, but who knows? Yeah, 7 blew my mind. The only problem that I had with it was I was such a... I marked out so hard for The Usual Suspects that when Kevin Spacey was on the phone as the killer, I heard his voice. I was like, that's Kevin Spacey.
Right.
It wasn't like, so I was waiting for the moment that Kevin Spacey showed up. I do credit the writing of that because it has my favorite moment, my fucking favorite police back and forth. And he's like, oh, we would have found you? Really? Really? What striking piece of evidence? What lead were you sitting on before I walked into the police station and put my hands up? Like, oh, shit. He just owned you,
yeah,
Bradley.
One of the things about that movie that I really dug, because it was this broad, big, kind of obvious, you know, emo, gothy kind of crap going on, was that great diner scene with Morgan Freeman and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
She's talking about the kid. And
yeah.
He has that whole... And that's a strength of the script. More than really the director, because the director just kind of what he did,
right?
Just framed it, Let it go.
Right.
And let's see what happens with the back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that gave enough. There were more than just that moment, but there were plenty of moments in the film where they had dynamics to stop and show real people, mm-hmm. real situations, real yeah. sadness around all of this big hoobajoob and hokum and hex that yeah. was going on yeah. with, you know, the killer's mania.
Right.
And I really appreciate it. Those are the things that made me want to watch the movie again.
Yes.
Whereas all this other, you would think, stuff that's right in my wheelhouse would keep me coming back. It isn't. It's those little things.
Yeah.
At the dinner with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman and his yeah. wife, when he comes in, when he invites him over to dinner, he shows up, goes to the other room, and wrestles with the dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, you immediately like him more. You like them more and like them together. You get all that stuff.
What it oddly reminds me of is
put the wine in the big glass.
Yes. Now, people talking about, have you ever heard interviews of people talking about working on American Graffiti with George Lucas?
Mm-mm.
And this is where Lucas used to be brilliant at directing. Used to be. Hmm. And what he would do is they would take like 20 takes of something. And you've seen American Graffiti, right?
Oh, yes.
You know when the guy robs the store, he comes out and throws the liquor bottle mm-hmm. to the kid? 19 times he caught it clean. The 20th take, he wandered a step further than he should have, tipped the bottle, knocked it back, and had to fight to pull it back in. And Lucas said, cut, we're done. And that was the take that he used.
Yeah.
And what he would do is he would push it until there was a little mistake. And he'd say that mistake revealed the character as a person.
Yeah.
And that they weren't using mistakes. They were planned beats. But the fact that it was, let's take a break from all of this and we'll give you that little crack in the armor that shows this is not a cop. This is a guy who is a cop.
Yeah.
And this is the life behind the guy who is a cop.
Yeah.
And that's what makes that resonate so strongly with people, I think. I mean, because that movie really sticks with folks.
Yeah, well, he has to have all those things that draw you in to liking the character so much to make the horror that happens to them mm-hmm. all that much more palatable and yeah. real.
Because it really is
oh, it's
fucking
terrible.
Horrific.
But if yeah. they didn't have all those moments, it would just be like, oh, the cop.
Yeah.
Is this happened.
Right.
For those who haven't seen this for some reason.
Yes. But it was really, it knocked me on my ass. I loved it. It's
especially
really
especially the time I saw it and the age I saw it.
I'm really
into that kind of shit. And the Reznor music and all that. I'm like, oh, this is the shit. I saw it.
And have you noticed
times in the theater?
The rain. It's always either yep. raining or wet.
Yep.
Although, here's one thing that pisses me off. There was a woman in the, theater. They were like two rows in front of, and there were two women who I have no idea what the fuck they were doing in Seven. I have no idea. But they're watching, and they're kind of talking back and forth. And it reaches the end of it where it fades to black. And it's kind of intense, right?
Yeah.
Cuts to black, and this woman two rows in front of me goes, "The end!"
Thanks for shattering the moment with Mjolnir, you fucking bitch.
And I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Like the kid in front of me when I watched the ninth gate when it said that movie was like the ninth gate of hell. Like,
yes.
Actually, it kind of was. But Seven's a good movie.
Yeah.
So what the hell?
Well, actually, what it kind of reminds me of is when you were watching one of the Star Wars movies and you were laughing at something that the Emperor did or that Palpatine did, and the kid turned around and goes, "You know, he's the bad guy." You told me that, you know, he's the bad guy. Shut the fuck up!
Oh, she's fucking up Yoda.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up, man.
Shut the fuck up.
You turned into Sam Jackson.
No,
did I fucking ask your opinion?
No, the worst part was when I started laughing at Yoda in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
That was bad, because it was nothing but my cackling laugh in a packed theater, dead silence, my laughter coming back at me. And a bunch of sexless geeks that turned around and looked at me and said, "Stop being an asshole." And I said, I really got my bully on to that one.
My
friends were just mortified and embarrassed.
It really is a good time that you were not, a good thing that you and I weren't hanging out when those came out.
Oh,
because
no.
You and me, could you imagine you and me knocking down a bottle of Stoli and going to watch any of those and someone saying something?
Well, yes, but no.
What?
No.
Huh?
The end.
The end. Yeah. Oh, no, it wasn't. Clone. I just sit there and, like, have cues worked out to where every once in a while, like...
He said that play is called Camino?
Whenever somebody opens a lightsaber, we go, sword.
Yeah. Let's do that when they come back out in 3D.
Oh, my God.
Let's
yes.
do that.
We're yes.
going to do it.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to laugh my ass off again.
Yeah, we'll go to the theater, and every time the lightsaber comes out, we'll go, sword. Here's... Okay,
I'm gonna get
email.
By 30 geeks.
Please. It'll be like fighting five-year-olds. We'll bring ourselves, and it'll just be us throwing people around. It'll be like the second half of King Kong. It'll just be us tossing nerds off walls. No offense to our nerdier fans, but that's all it'll be. The second half of King Kong. Here's what I want. I want you guys to send us an email of moments from The Phantom Menace, repetitive things in The Phantom Menace, that when it happens, you... A line that you want us to say out loud when it happens.
We'll have a list.
And I'll find a way to record us watching. Like, I'll take my iPhone with me and just hit record on the audio. Sword! Shut up, guys! Puppet! Racism! And the thing is, you'd never stop saying racism in that.
No, you wouldn't.
Never stop. George Lucas doesn't like people who were different than him.
Yippee!
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, after 7 came a movie that I loved the first time I saw it. And I haven't really seen it since because I kind of want to preserve the time when I loved it. And that's The Game.
Yes.
Because when I first saw The Game, I was bowled over by how much I loved that movie. I don't know why. I think it's because I was 20.
That has something to do with it.
Yeah, I was 20. It looked cool. It had the idea. Like, when you saw that, as much as it sucked, how much would you have loved getting to play The Game, have that shit happen?
That'd be awesome.
It would have been so cool. There was EA Games had this thing. It didn't work, but it was the most brilliant thing ever. It was a game called Mystic. That was brilliant. Did you ever try it?
No, I know what you're talking about, though.
Okay, and for those who don't know, Mystic, you didn't get a disc or anything originally. You'd go to EA, and I only did the trial. But you would give them whatever information you were comfortable with, your phone number, your email, fax machine, back when people other than you had one. All of that stuff, and then that was it. And at some moment, didn't know when, your phone would ring. And the game would start. And you'd get clues. It was this conspiracy theory game where you'd get...
That would be the worst game for me ever.
Yeah.
The game's begun. Fuck off.
No, I don't want to. But you'd get emails, faxes, instant messages.
Oh, God, that's a nightmare.
Phone calls. Oh. But that all led you to these different things that help you put together a puzzle online.
And oh, God.
It's the sort of thing that, like, kind of let you think that, oh, I'm in one of those cool movies. I'm in War Games. I'm Henry Thomas. I found the video game that has the secret plans to the jet, and Dabney Coleman's an action hero. And that's believable for some fucking reason.
Cloak and Dagger reference.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Hey, I'm from San Antonio. That movie was a seminal part of my growing up.
I understand.
And by that, I mean, it was a fucking giant wank. Oh! Yes. But anyway, that's what The Game always made me think of. And again, dark. I mean, shit. Even during the day, it was dark in that fucking thing. But the paranoia and all that stuff and... Just the what's behind the curtains, that idea of that kind of Star Chamber-esque, we have control of everything happening.
Oh, it's great.
It's fascinating to somebody like me. And there's some bits, mostly the ending that's a bit much, where like, if you hadn't jumped, I'd have had to throw you. How did you know he was going to jump off that side of the roof?
Yeah.
You fucking, that was a pretty dangerous gambit. And also, he had to break through a window. What if he jumped a little further out and broken his spine on the top of that thing? Stupid. And, although, could you imagine how cool it would be to get an invitation to a birthday party and show up like, where's the guest? Why is there that giant inflatable mattress in the middle of the room?
Don't.
And then look up, there's glass above it. It's like, oh, just wait.
Yeah.
Is someone going to come crashing through? Cause that
let me
doesn't...
know, because I can't drink comfortably or have these little hors d'oeuvres without knowing. Unless, something's going to happen.
Unless I know if... I don't want to I don't want to be in the midst of a fucking crab croquet and have a shard of glass come flying at me.
Something's going to happen here, isn't there? Yeah. Mm. It's like Eyes Wide Shut and you're walking around masked. Everyone's going to fuck, aren't they?
Oh, God, yeah, imagine if he'd landed on that air mattress and just everyone was fucking. What? Everyone's in a mask and there's some guy playing piano and people are just humping around.
Fidelio.
It's like, what?
Fidelio.
What's happening?
No.
What's going on?
Fuck this. I'm going to Dairy Queen.
Yeah. Seems like a man with that kind of watch doesn't have a pass. Motherfucker, are you not my embassy?
Yeah. Exactly.
They use those psychological tests to figure out your passwords. Okay, sure.
Oh, sure.
But the thing is, the rest of it, I bought it. It was cool. And I liked Michael Douglas's whole, that wasn't just my money. That was pensions. That was payrolls.
Yeah.
And he definitely, that to me, defined his character kind of cool. Where it's like, yeah, he's a guy with the, you know, oh, that was $300. Your shoes are cost $300? That one did. Or however much it was.
Whatever.
It was a large sum of money.
Sure. More than you would pay for shoes.
Yes, more than...
Or a shoe.
A shoe, definitely. But not more than I would pay for Elizabeth's shoe.
No.
No, not at all. Especially Karate Kid era, but I digress.
Yes.
Were we talking about them having sex at the party? Was there something else going on there?
I don't know.
He seemed a decent chap outside of that.
Yes, yes.
The clown thing was a bit weird. Once the clown showed up, if I had that kind of money, I'd call every... I'd be like, I need to find a bunch of ex-Mossad agents to surround me constantly.
Yeah.
Like, guys who will kill someone if they stop to tie their shoelaces in front of me because it's a little too suspicious.
I need the private equivalent of Blackwater here now
because
I can afford it.
Well, it's what it reminds me of is that I had a friend who played at SFA, Stephen F. Austin, in college. He played football there in college. And he said, we were talking about football practice, and he said, if you fall down in front of a guy wearing a red jersey in practice, you're going to be running laps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I like. I would want to hire a bunch of dudes with guns and be like, I'm wearing a red jersey. If someone does anything even slightly off around me, I want you to shoot them until there's nothing left.
Yeah, yeah. Shoot their extremities off.
Yes, and then kick what's left. Hire Europeans because they like soccer and just have them kick until there's... Yeah.
They can do it.
Yes. So then, oddly... It's the game. Interesting, and it showed that he was moving in a direction. Here's what's weird to me. It seems, in my mind, like so much longer. Do you know how much time passed between the game and Fight Club?
No.
2 years.
Really?
The game was 97, Fight Club was 99.
Yeah.
It seems, in terms of my life...
Well, yeah.
It seems like a million years.
Not a shit went down for me between 97 and 99, boy.
Yeah, same here. I mean, that's shit. That's a lifetime right there. I mean, granted, Fight Club was late 99, but still.
A lot.
I mean, because I remember the game coming out when I was still living in the dorm in Austin. So that was, you know, when I'd first moved there. But hell.
I still thought I knew something in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Around that time in my life. And then Fight Club showed up, and I'm like, oh!
That's better. That's more like it.
And talk about right time, right place, right age to watch a film. I know we've mentioned this before in other podcasts, but man, oh man, was that film made for...
That is rated C for Clarkson.
Me at that time.
And it dialed into me as well. I read...
Except that I had been in a fight and I didn't need to, you know, reestablish my existence or worth in that existence by getting punched in the nose because I know it hurts.
Yeah. I've still never been beat up, but I've had a basketball bounce off my face, so I kind of have an idea.
Well, yeah.
So. I've got the flavor of it, you know.
Having someone who had tasted conflict before,
yes.
I didn't have trouble sleeping.
I read the book beforehand, and the thing with Polonick, he's a kind of writer I want to like more than I do. His books, because I read...
It's really faithful.
Oh, yeah, except almost. The ending. Ending they fixed, I thought... Thing is, I read Fight Club, Invisible Monsters, and Survivor back to back to back. And here's the thing that I have found of people who've read those three books, their favorite is always the first one that they read, and their least favorite is always the last.
Yeah.
I know so many people, I hated Fight Club. Like, Really? Well, yeah, Survivor was so great. I read that first. And oh, it's because the thing you'd cracked his code.
Yeah.
You'd figured him out by that
point. You're looking for the trick. You know where the thing is. Yeah.
And I read his book, Snuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't do anything for me, you know?
Yeah.
I've had friends who love what he does, and he seems like such a cool guy. Here's what I love about Polonick. You know how he started writing? He joined a writer's group to make friends. Somehow just, here's a bunch of shit I'm really good at.
Right.
And he seems like the kind of dude I'd hang out with and have a beer, you know? Like, cool, right? But Fight Club, you're right, was just such a... Well, and the thing is, I remember getting into it with this friend of mine's girlfriend. My friend Ken was dating this broad who fancied herself a very forward thinker.
Hmm.
Like, she'd take classes and think she knew things.
Forward-thinking classes?
Yeah. The greatest statement I've ever heard in my life. God, this is hilarious. My friend Ilson, Korean cat, awesome guy, by the way. I'm not, Koreans aren't normally awesome, but he's the awesome one. No.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Cool guy, which is why this is so funny. If Ilson was a cock, this wouldn't be hilarious. But this girl asked him, because they're learning about Korea and Korean boat people
mm-hmm.
during this class, and she says to him, and I quote, "Did your parents come to America on the boat?" As though there was just one rickety carnival cruise liner.
No. Did they show up on the Nautilus?
No, I'm imagining that it was like a giant carnival cruise line that was just packed to the gills
with the boat.
Koreans. But
the boat!
And he kind of looked at her. He's like, my parents are both doctors. They flew here first class. You know, like, it would have been more realistic if they'd had a car that turned into a boat that they took here. But I made...
Mask.
Yes. Oh, Mask. I made the statement that I thought Fight Club was a comment on the over-feminization of men in America. And she went, yeah, I don't think so. And because she thought she was smarter than everyone. She was the one that when we wanted to play the game Mind Trap, you remember that, where it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, she's like, isn't that game a little heady for your friends? And I kind of looked and I said, Ken, can I play her and her friends by myself? And it was brilliant. But I turned and I looked at her, and I don't remember what I said, but I unleashed this torrent of fresh out of film school. I have done gender studies classes. Yeah. I have done ethnic studies classes. I've done every kind of studies class you can imagine, and I've studied film, so I understand this more. And I fucking decimated her.
Right.
I left 90% so that she could function again, but I tore her apart. She's also the one that when I watched Punch Drunk Love on the opening night, I was like, I didn't really care for it. It just seemed scattered. And she goes, well, you know, sometimes there are like these ideas, like themes in movies. And my friends all remember me doing the slow turn this. Oh, you want to hit people with garbage cans. Yeah. Tell me more about theme, please.
See what Joseph Campbell is doing here, Clarkson, is comparing religions.
See, what you wouldn't understand is some people don't believe in a Christian God. Don't worry. I'll slow down. but that was what Fight Club was to me, is as a guy who was trying to... And I think this is why it spoke to so many dudes our age and so many guys who are still that age. That is such a coming-of-age film in an odd way. Because when you hit a certain age as a guy, you're trying to define yourself as a man.
Sure.
And that, to me, is what Fight Club was largely about. Was in a society that puts, especially at that time, classical male identity as being a bad thing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
How do we function? How do
it's
we continue?
Worse.
Oh, it's gotten so much worse.
Exponentially worse.
Yeah, yeah.
And the funny thing about that movie, speaking on that point...
You didn't realize this was coming, did you, folks?
Did you?
Yeah.
Was...
Did you see?
The doctor and me, did you see?
Keep talking. I'm going to grab a dose.
Me and my friends were all watching the movie the first time, and I remember I was there in like a hoodie and patched pants and punk rock, and I think I had a mohawk.
Did you have a wallet chain dangling like a party favor?
I did. Yeah. I believe I did. And my friends, much the same. But a lot of them came from, I don't want to say sheltered backgrounds, but backgrounds that were very different from mine.
More like mine.
Where they just had a regular American.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. But I had an older dad from a different time and raised on a, you know, not on a ranch, but in a very agrarian thing where we had to work all the time. And even though we didn't have to, he made us.
Yeah.
And he made us get right in touch with conflict and what it means to be a man, and you got to do this and right and wrong, and all that kind of shit I take for granted that was already hardwired in my system.
Yeah.
But at the time that I saw it, I had rebelled so much against all of that that I had now put myself, and I don't want to say like it was better. I wasn't better. Mm-hmm. I was just different. And this group of people that were looking at the movie with a different set of eyes.
Well, and those were the eyes I saw.
They were looking at it like, oh, man, that's just how I am. I don't know what this, that, and the other. And even though I kind of did, I turned away from it so much that it helped bring that back into focus. Like, dude, you don't need a fuck. You need to get your ass kicked to realize that shit hurts.
Yeah.
You need to get a fucking nap and lift some weights and maybe eat a goddamn steak and shut the fuck up. Stop being such a goddamn crybaby about
it.
And so you get just fucking displaced and your id shows up in a goddamn black sugar shirt. Watch out, motherfucker.
What you need is...
By the way, a lot of the credit cards or companies are located in Ohio. If you're going to blow shit up, don't do it in New York.
Yeah, that's true. It's the... Well, for those who don't know, first off, I love Clarkson's dad. I love that man. Here's the thing about your dad. Your dad is a half a step away from what we've got here is failure to communicate. Your dad, and I adore Dudley. He is awesome, and he is awesome because of that. He is the, you know what you need to do is quit fucking whining. School of masculinity that I think we could all do with.
Imagine the Scottish equivalent of slapping someone around and going, be a man!
Yeah. Act like a man! Yes.
So that had a lot to do with the coloring way I looked at that movie.
Uh-huh.
Is that it helped me kind of refocus the things that I realized, wait a minute, I've got a lot of tools that I'm not using, but at the same time, there was a lot of stuff. As far as like materialism and consumerism and all that other kind of coloring of the movie.
Well,
that were really, really appealing, not because of background and masculinity, but just general refocusing of priorities.
Yeah. See, the thing with that movie was and this is going to sound weird at first, I'm Ferdinand. I forgot I was a bull.
Yeah.
You know, because I was... And Campbell knew me back in the day, and those of you who've seen it on Facebook, I used to be fucking emaciated thin.
Yeah.
I mean, I graduated high school 6'6", weighed like 170 pounds. I was tiny. And when you're my height and you stand out, and yet you don't have any bulk behind it, that means you stand out as a target.
Yeah.
For a while. And like in middle school, that's what it was. And I'd filled out and become... Now, I guess, a force to be reckoned with might describe me. Yet, that's what this movie spoke to in me was I'd forgotten. I'm a fucking bear.
Yeah.
I'm a bull. I could knock you down and keep you down if I wanted to.
Yeah, and I think that movie helped to a certain degree with some of my other friends is to realize, look, you are not necessarily... what you're programmed to be by, not your parents necessarily, but this culture at large.
By what
it's
you're told
okay to be a man. It's okay to feel this way.
Yeah.
It's okay to be pissed off.
Yeah.
It's okay to be angry. Now, don't translate that into fucking social terrorism.
Yeah. Yeah.
But refocus the things that you are given and are meant to be.
Right.
And focus those on the things that are productive. The things that used to be for fucking taken for granted in this country. You take a job, you build things, you make things.
And then you sit down and have a Steve McQueen dinner. You have a steak with two eggs on it.
Don't be
fucking
conflicted about
whiskey.
It. Don't think that you're fucked up and neurotic about it. Just shut up, do your job, and go the fuck home.
I think our restaurant, Fat Astley's, needs to have the Steve McQueen dinner on it, which is a pile of garlic mashed potatoes... A steak with two eggs on it.
Garlic mashed potatoes are a little fruity.
Yeah? Yeah, okay. How about mashed potatoes then? No, here's, I'll man it up for you.
They're called butter potatoes.
Butter potatoes. How about instead of this?
2 sticks of butter per serving.
Unpeeled russet potatoes, mashed and covered in butter and salt.
Mashed with a roofing hammer.
Yes. I was going to say a cinder block, but if you want to use, if you want a handle, that's you.
Well, I'm kind of delicate like
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah. But a steak, T-bone or ribeye, with 2 fried eggs on it and a shot of whiskey and your choice of beer.
Right.
That's the McQueen dinner.
That's it.
In my world.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's all right. Yeah.
But how odd is it that, you know, there needed to be a movie to remind guys that, yes, you can be dudes.
Yeah.
You can be a fucking guy.
And do it before it turns into this.
Yeah, do it before
it metastasize into some kind of fucking...
I didn't want to destroy something beautiful. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Before you beat up Jared Leto. That's what we're trying to say.
Before?
Before.
Yeah. Here's the thing that got me about that was at a certain point, the Tyler Durden pontifications...
Oh,
even back when I was a kid, even the Mona Lisa's falling apart. Shut the fuck up, pretty boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, before I break a fucking bee about
it. Is that what a man's supposed to look like? Dude.
Yeah.
You trained for fucking 6 months and didn't know what beer tasted like to get those abs. So shut the fuck up.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, to me, the last bastion of pure masculinity in this country is Southie Boston.
Yeah.
Where it's a bunch of just fucking meatheads hitting shit with a hammer. That's how a man makes a living.
You know, not the only way, but it's a way.
Yeah.
And it's okay, it's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, the son of a bitch should have got a job working in the fucking rendering plant is what he should have been doing.
Yes.
He just get out of the office.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, go fucking lay sod. Go fucking lay brick. For a summer. Go frame a house.
Yeah. I was managing a movie theater when that thing came out, and it was at Lake Lyman
Mall. I was managing a sandwich shop.
Did you have a grand slammage?
No. Should have.
Should have.
But I was managing a sandwich shop.
See?
Already, even then. Yeah. Lions.
Lions. Oh, man.
Ah, le mot juste.
Ah, perfecto. What better way to follow up Fight Club than Panic Room?
I can't think of any other way.
I'm going to stand by this statement. Coolest credits. That was where it was like the words were floating over the city streets, but it was like they were 3D rendered.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
Pretty cool.
And a movie where terrible things didn't happen to Jodie Foster, but almost happened.
Yeah.
I have expressed this many times. I am tired of bad things happening to Jodie Foster.
Me too.
It's not that I'm doubting her power as a woman or blah. I like Jodie, and I don't want to see her hurt ever again. The Accused covered that for me forever.
Yeah, and the porno she made.
Yes. Fucking tasteless line from My Name is Earl. Anyone but Jamie Presley says it, and it doesn't work. But do me on this pinball machine like Jodie Foster in that porno she made. Oh! No. Panic Room, though, I do give credit for best use of Dwight Yoakam in a film that is not
best
Sling
use
Blade.
Of Jared Leto's hair in cornrows.
Yes. Decent use of Forrest Whitaker.
Yes. There wasn't Ghost Dog, yes.
Yes, yes. No, it's just a decent, not best, just decent.
Correct.
I don't know, though. It was odd because there was no real sense of peril, just sort of a sense of, this is going to suck for a while.
Yeah, I was, especially after Fight Club, when was Panic Room made?
Panic Room was 2002.
Okay, yeah, I had already kind of gotten over the whole Fight Club hangover and all that, so at that point, I didn't have any preconceptions about, I'm going to get the same story last time, right? I just wanted to see a well-made film. And it was well-made.
It was very well-made and such a total gear shift.
Yeah. That, exactly.
I mean,
he
dropped the transmission.
Yeah. He just said, oh, look what I can do now.
Look at this. Like, there's Jodie Foster. And I believe, was that young Scarlett Johansson in that?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen it since the theater.
I'll look this up here. But it was an interesting idea. However, how interesting can you make a story where you are locking your main character into a 10 by 10 room for a majority of your film? And not even 10 by 10, like 10 by 5.
And I'm afraid that a lot of things are probably, not probably, but were lost on me because I wasn't looking at it with any kind of critical eye.
It was Kristen Stewart as the daughter, yes.
Go on, critical eye, you were saying?
I wasn't looking for any of the what he may be trying to say with that film because I was just watching the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember thinking, well, that was okay.
Yeah.
And it looked great.
Yeah, it really did. I haven't seen it since, like, opening week.
Yeah, same here. I haven't seen it since the theater.
But I remember leaving it thinking that was cool. And, again, the fact that they maintain Jody sort of in control with it, I like that.
Yeah.
But it just, it was one of those things that, like, there was such an odd emphasis placed on the that's a panic room.
We wouldn't have that there.
And that touched the line, panic room.
It was one of those things that... Have you ever seen the Upright Citizens Brigade with the titular line?
Yes.
Man, I just can't wait to get out of Africa. God, when will we ever see the end of these Star Wars? It's a solid flick, though. I mean, that's the thing is, it's not like blow your mind great, but it's good. It's
very good.
It's good.
And he goes from that... And then to something that was so fucking unheralded, so unrecognized.
5 years later.
So, people just kind of dismissed it, and I don't know why.
And the thing is, I didn't...
Zodiac, people?
I didn't see it for ages after it came out. And I think it's because with Fincher, they were expecting something else.
Yeah, probably.
And what he gave them was a taut, fucking procedural...
Yes, and there were so many other like Zodiac projects floating around at the time. I think there were 3 in production in pre-production or whatever.
Uh-huh.
His got off the ground the fastest because he had the big name recognition and the stars to back it up. And thank God his got the upper hand.
God, yes.
Like the Capote thing.
Uh-huh.
Not that he did those, but
similar
situation.
Well,
glad that took over because that was a very, very good movie.
Oh, hell
didn't
yeah.
It still doesn't get its comeuppance.
Not at all. Does not get what it deserves. It's such a dry procedural. And what's weird is if you really look at it, the Zodiac, what killed, that are proven to be Zodiac, what, like 2 people?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, on its surface, a really uninteresting case that was made very interesting just by the frame that it was in.
Well, that and all the shit around it.
Uh-huh.
The way the killer taunted him and all
that. Well, that's what I meant by frame.
All the shit around it.
Frames are around things.
Things are around.
Yes, they are.
Things can be round.
They can be round. No, they can't! We live in a world of angles, Campbell. How dare you?
Get out.
Hit me with your bougie angles.
It's bougie to say bougie.
It is bougie. Up to the end of it, that whole, it is this many steps. I've walked it. And the screaming obviousness of it.
Yeah.
But also, like, the Zodiac Killer thing was, for how odd this is going to sound, kind of sexy. You know, you've got the guy writing the letters in.
Oh,
you've got
the
creepy mystery of it.
Sure.
He picks the girl up and drives her around for a while before somehow she gets away. If he was going to kill her, she'd have been fucking dead.
Right.
That was some crazy guy fucking around.
Right.
Although the scene that still just shocks me is when he walked up in the suit with the hood on that couple in the park. Just because, what the hell would you do if you were, which, again, why I don't go fucking camping or hiking.
Exactly.
That won't happen on a golf course.
Exactly.
That won't happen in a movie theater.
Not going to happen in my favorite burger joint.
No.
And, or movie theater.
No.
And, or Austin Books comic book shop.
If I'm eating barbecue at the Salt Lake, somebody in that outfit's not going to walk up and know, he'll be noticed.
And that pretty much covers what I would do in Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
Austin Books. Art Trip House, Andor Salt Lake, Alamo Draft House, or one of the finer theaters that don't have a bunch of people eating.
Yeah. Occasionally casino.
Oh, yes.
Occasionally. Not a lot, but occasionally. Yes. But
that happens to casino. He's getting his ass rolled.
Oh, hell yeah.
By a bunch of tattooed motherfuckers that don't look much unlike you or I.
Yes. Led by the two of us. I like how you sat back and crossed your arms as though I needed to see this.
Yeah.
I'm showing
your ass, Zodiac. Don't come to the goddamn casino. I'm having a goddamn buffalo burger and a goddamn double crown of Coke, you motherfucker.
that happened. That is a true story.
This jukebox rules.
It really does. But that could
you, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Can you imagine being out in the middle of nowhere and seeing that black outfit with the hood on rolling up on you like,
oh, let me tell you, it happened in San Francisco. It happened in Refugio. Yeah. You shot.
Oh, yeah.
You shot.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, yeah, you got shot.
Yeah, you're right. That happens in most places. Somebody going to get killed. But the creepiness of him starting to... Could you imagine being tied like that and the person next to you starts getting stabbed and you're...
No, I cannot.
Because I wouldn't get tied up.
No.
I'd go Ferdinand.
That's right.
Blindside him.
And not the band.
Beat him up with my fists.
That's right.
These little hammers God put at the end of my arm, put him there for a reason.
Shit.
Then he took a really weird turn into the longest fucking movie I've ever seen in my life.
You didn't like O Benjamin, did you?
Not a whole lot.
Really?
I didn't dislike it, but I just, by the end of it, I wanted it to be over.
I did get the sense of the movie where the guys making it thought they had something more special.
Yes.
Than we really thought it was.
Yeah, yeah.
That being said, I really enjoyed it. I saw it eons after it came out.
Oh, hell, same here.
Eons and eons.
It was one of the first things I watched on Blu-ray. And I thought it looked great.
Wow, of course, it looked beautiful. It was well made and directed. The story was okay.
Uh-huh.
But I remember thinking, well, that's a very good movie. But it flirted with a little bit too much of the whole Hollywood ain't that cute kind of shit.
Yeah, the adorable infant with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I know. That's a little cute.
It just, yeah, it is. And it went just too much. And what happened to him at the end? Did he just vanish?
Yes.
Apparently he did.
He vanished away.
He just disappeared into nothing.
So, yeah. That's what I walked away with thinking. Oh, it's so neat. Isn't this so neat and magical? Not really.
Yeah. The thing is, had it been a little bit shorter, I would have liked it. I did love the fact that Jared Harris was in it. Because mm-hmm. I'll take Jared Harris in anything. I'm trying to remember. He just got announced. Oh, God. He's going to be playing Jared Harris is going to be in... I hate that I'm blanking on this.
He's going to be playing Jared Harris in the Jared Harris story.
Yes, he is. It's going to be the Jared
playing
Harris...
Emil Muzz in the remake of Dragnet.
Yes. That's it. Oh, no. He's playing Moriarty.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Wow.
In the Sherlock Holmes 2.
Cool.
Yes, he's playing Moriarty.
Game of Shadows.
We're gonna divert here for a second. I figured out a way to make the ending of Sherlock Holmes a lot cooler. Now, you know how they set up that whole, you know, do this to blind him, punch, punch, punch.
Yes.
Smack him and he's done. Now, imagine he's fighting Lord Black.
Swell.
Swell. Lord Black Swell.
Yes.
Lord Blackswell.
Blackswell.
Yes.
That's his name.
Yes.
It's a fact.
Pausing it where it is. Blackswell. Okay.
It's a fact.
But now, imagine if he's fighting and he comes up
with squelched it myself.
I squelched it. Imagine if he came up with like a 5-move combo to beat him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do this, and he gets one move in, and the second thing he throws, Blackswell blocks it and knocks him back, right?
Yes, yes.
So then he steps back, and he comes up with another one, and he gets 3 moves into it, blocks him and knocks him down. Then he comes up with this something where he has to let the guy beat his ass for a little bit to open up something where he can take him down.
A Rocky move?
Yeah, exactly.
Rope-a-dope.
How cool would it be to show the first one and show it busted? It would be like
cool.
In the Mighty Ducks 3, where, I don't know, I just thought I'd throw the most random thing I could at you.
Is this what it feels like when I do that kind of thing?
Yes, it does.
Wow, that's some heady shit.
Yeah, but how odd it would be for Blackswell. And I cannot say it.
His name is Blackswell, and always will be.
Lord Blackswell. God damn.
That's right. Blackswell.
Is this what it sounds like when something comes off the track?
Yes.
This is what it sounded like when the fucking
punch
scraped down the side of the Titanic. Blackswell.
I'm doing my best here. I'm vamping.
Yeah, but imagine how cool that would have been, where it shows it gets busted up, and then he realizes that he's going to have to, you know, whatever, to do it.
Mm.
It would have been more interesting, I think, and it would have been a better payoff, and it would have shown an equaling and him having to improve himself.
Yeah.
But regardless, Benjamin Button was dull. I think we just I think we switched parts for a second.
Due to illness, tonight the part of Clarkson Campbell will be played by Jim Dirks. The part of Jim Dirks will be played by
someone else, because I can't do that, because I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yes, I'm the authority here. This is not fun. So, yeah, Benjamin Button, it was one that I desperately wanted to like, because I like Fincher, I like Pitt,
sure.
I like
Things.
Blanchett.
Sure.
And it was Blanchett, right?
I think so.
And Blackswell, and
he showed up at the end.
He showed up at the end. It was a
strange case of Benjamin Blackswell.
Yes. I like those people. And I wanted to dig in. And isn't it based off of a Steinbeck story?
I don't know.
It's based off of one of those fuckers.
I don't know. I don't know anything. He doesn't do anything?
He doesn't do anything. Ah, Benjamin Button.
Ah, the French.
Long movie of things.
Okay, but, back on track.
Yes, back on track. I wanted to like it more than I did. I thought it was a decent film that had some cool ideas, but it was way over long. And the minute that you start feeling how long the movie is,
That's true. You failed
at what you're aiming for.
I kept telling myself, you have to like this. It's David Fincher.
Yeah. You know what I didn't have to tell myself that on? Viking Social Network. I loved that movie.
All right.
Seriously, this is one of those weird... Like, we've kind of already done a show about how the Oscars don't really mean anything.
Right.
This is one that kind of captures that, I think. In 5 years... people are still going to be looking at the way The Social Network is put together and going, that's amazing.
Right.
King's Speech will not have been forgotten, but it'll be kind of like, you know, Out of Africa won the Oscar.
Right.
Yeah, that, who was in that? Was that a thing? And this one would be like,
Right.
Oh, yeah, there were people in that, weren't there?
I remember looking at the Oscar card for the night at Nicole's place. And the Oscars are always a big deal for her and her family and all that. And I'm looking through the stuff going, well, directing, that's got to go to Fincher.
Yeah.
Oh, editing, that's got to go to Fincher.
Yeah.
Oh, music, that's got to go to Trent.
Yeah.
Remember, haven't seen a frame of it at the time. Uh-huh. I've known shit about it except what other people have told
exactly.
me.
Exactly, yeah.
And apparently, I'm right.
Except for director. It's a goddamn British...
Yeah, right.
Come
I'm
over.
Just saying what it's
sorry, guys.
I don't mean right that I was right about what happened in the Oscars. I mean right.
You're right,
in
he
my
should
head.
Have, yeah. I mean, and again, I'm not trying to start a war with the British here.
Again. Because the French probably won't show up again.
No, probably won't show up to bail us out this time. They'll be like, what? No, Social Network, outstanding. Right now, he's in post-production of Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, which is awesome. There's a part in the sequel to that that I would actually be perfect for. There's this guy who is this...
Who beats up women?
Yeah. No, there's this guy who's this massive dude who is just this huge, strong homunculus, but...
amazingly handsome, virile, rich, greatest powers, got like a really cool car.
Can't feel pain. Like, literally can't. That's kind of the thing. He's got, like, a brain damage where he can't feel pain. But he's just sort of, like, the blunt instrument of that. But the dude who plays it in the other version is like, yeah, I could totally do that. But I don't think I'd want to.
Yeah.
So don't call an offer, David.
Yeah, you're busy.
I don't think I want to be associated with a part like that. Sure. Unless you pay a little extra.
Mm-hmm.
He's rumored to be on pre-production of a Cleopatra movie.
Yeah. And...
thank everyone's lucky stars, apparently attached to direct 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah, with Captain Nemo.
And he pulled that out of the awful, gangrenous clutches of McGee.
Really?
Yeah, originally McGee was attached to that project.
Jesus.
And he was thinking of having Will Smith play Captain Nemo.
Holy shit! I'm gonna do a quick aside here. You don't watch Supernatural anymore.
I do not.
My friend Ben told me about this.
There's not Captain Nemo in Supernatural.
No, dude. McGee reminded me of this because he produced...
Yes.
On a recent episode, Sam and Dean are transported to another dimension. No! Don't say a word. Another angel who's not Castiel comes and does this. Where they interrupt the production of a television show called Supernatural, starring an actor named Jensen Ackles and another actor named Jared Padalecki. And the only thing that apparently was funny about it to Ben was there was a special effects shot that got blown while they were, you know, on it, where there was an explosion that threw him out a window, and the director's like,
well, what I'd do you have to be to enjoy this episode. Yeah,
he was like, wow. He was like, they were like, we could either reshoot it or just do a freeze frame. And the episode ended with an explosion in a freeze frame, which was basically they were saying, we didn't want to go back and redo. But yeah, that shows you how far that show has slipped. And that is a McGee product.
Yeah.
That is a McGee.
Half the producers of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, half the producers of Millennium and X-Files, and a lot of McGee.
Did you hear that the broad who was his Padalecki's girlfriend in the first episode is playing Wonder Woman now?
No.
There's going to be like a, I forget who it is that's producing it. Yeah, making her a brunette because she's tall and that's apparently all they need. But she's got a suit and it's a lot of latex.
Huh.
Yeah. But we've gone off topic. David Fincher has nothing to do with that. I'm interested from this point on. Actually, I'm not terribly interested in Cleopatra.
No.
I just don't give a shit. It was like when we're going to make two about Troy and about Alexander.
Cleopatra
and
was big because of the spectacle that it was in actual people and physical effects.
Yeah.
And but now it's no big goddamn deal.
No.
And Liz Taylor's dead. So,
no. Now heaven smells like bourbon and Vicodin.
It does. With violet eyes.
Violet eyes. These have always brought me luck.
Get out of my head.
Diamonds are forever, but Liz Taylor isn't. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a dick. I just don't care. I honestly don't care.
Oh, come on.
I can't. The only memory I have of Elizabeth Taylor movie, the only one I think I've seen from beginning to end is Giant. Mm-hmm. The only thing I know about an Elizabeth Taylor movie is my sister got dragged to see The Flintstones, and she called me from the lobby, and I sat on the phone with her for an hour and a half until her friends got out of the movie, because she's like, I'm not going back in. So I sat on the phone talking to my sister for 90 minutes until her friends came out. Doodah day.
There you go.
But 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, that could be cool. They need to get the guy who played Nemo in A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yes.
Because he wasn't...
That worked out great.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. That was everybody else's fault but his. That was more Sean Connery's fault than his.
It wasn't Sean's fault.
No, it wasn't.
It was that director's fault.
Nothing's Sean Connery's fault.
Correct.
Those women deserve to be slapped,
that's right,
according to him. So...
Zardoz worked!
Jesus. Do you have anything else to say about David Fincher?
He is a very good director.
He is talented.
And he has a real knack for the lighting.
Yeah, he really does. And everyone needs to look at that shit. If we had one year where every movie was lit like a Fincher movie, I'd be happy.
Yes. Yes.
Even if Pixar movies were lit like a Fincher movie, I'd be extraordinarily happy with
Pixar
that.
Pixar presents Seven.
Seven. Oh, that would be sexy.
That would be good.
Probably
so yeah, David Fincher. If you're not familiar with his stuff, you should be.
You should
he's
be.
Very good.
So yeah. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out at thefilmthugs.com. And email your suggestions for ways that we can disrupt a 3D showing of The Phantom Menace. I want to go to a theater that I don't care about and see if we can get banned from that theater.
That doesn't involve me, Jim, and my friend Mark with water balloons.
Yes.
That was me and Mark's original idea was to pelt
all the people camping out Star Wars with water balloons. Yeah. And that's a real dick move.
Yeah,
and it's also really hilarious.
I'm just talking about a way that we could be assholes during a shitty movie and get banned from a shitty theater in a way that would be hilarious.
It would be funny, and it would get us into the theater to see those films again.
Yeah, something that wouldn't involve us getting arrested. You know, and I'm talking like lines like, sword, or, you know, Portman, or I don't know. You know, I'm just throwing out ideas, you know.
Because I'm so in love with you.
Oh, so love has blinded you?
Oh, God. Anyway, David Fincher, no, great.
Love didn't blind me. We have to protect you, so we're going to...
You will try.
We're going to... We need to protect you, so we're going to put you next to a whole bunch of windows while you sleep and then go into another room. And then instead
Ooba.
Of
the, Ooba.
Blowing up the room, they're going to put a spider in there to bite you instead of just blowing it up. And then I'm going to jump out the window and go... Well, we're glad you joined us for our lighthearted romp through the films of David Fincher. Musically, we began with Nine Inch Nails' Closer from their Downward Spiral album. And right now, you are hearing Iron Maiden's Seventh Son of the Seventh Son. Clip-wise, a little Cheech and Chong, a little Panic Room, a little bit of Seven, some Social Network, Zodiac, and The Game, all by Monsieur Fisher. Fincher, you know, shut up. Anyway... Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on our website, thefilmthugs.com. Email us at thefilmthugs@gmail.com. And, no, do whatever else you want. See you next time. All right, bye. Oh,
one, born of woman, the seventh son, and he in turn the seventh son. He has the power to heal. He has the gift of the second sight. He is the chosen one. So it shall be written. So it shall be.
Hear me, detective. I'm trying to tell you how much I admire you. And your pretty wife, Tracy.
What'd you say?
I stopped by your house today, after you'd left. I tried to play husband.
Go away!
It didn't work out. So I took a souvenir. Her pretty head of lettuce.
Huh? Mills.
Hey, sweetie, it's me.
You're alive!
Of course I am, silly.
Where are you?
I'm just working out with the girls. Hey, I wanted to tell you, the weirdest thing happened to me today.
What's that?
This bald guy came into our apartment today and asked if he could have some lettuce from the refrigerator.
Lettuce?
I know, isn't that weird? I mean, sure, I gave him the lettuce, but I was all, what do you need the lettuce for?
I gotta call you back.
Why are you in our apartment?